Just a couple of verses and then a quotation this morning, because our time is limited. We want to have some time to pray as well. Look at Matthew chapter 7:7-8. It is probably the best known and the most quoted verse in the Bible on prayer. And I'll read it as it's written and then as it is practiced. Matthew 7:7-8 says, well, let me have prayer. Father in heaven, now bless. Please draw near and give me your words. In Jesus' name, amen. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be open. That's what it says. It is full of very strong statements. There is no question. But I believe the way it is often read, at least by way of what we see, is ask and sometimes it will be given. Seek, and if you're fortunate, you'll find. Knock, and if you knock enough times and wear God down, maybe eventually he'll hear what you're needing. But it says, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. It's a glorious, glorious promise. Now, we know from the book of Luke that this is especially given relative to the Holy Spirit. But we can apply this promise to every area of our life. And we should be. Of course, the question comes, Dan, sometimes I pray and I don't seem to get answers. If it's asking, it will be given. What is meant by that? Well, you know, and maybe I shared this story, Faye, when I was at Hempstead. I met someone in another part of the world who was not happily married. And her husband had a very dangerous job. He would climb tall trees and trim branches, or he would use a chainsaw and cut up trees. And she said, God, would you please either have my husband fall out of the tree and die or cut himself up with a chainsaw and die? Either way, please, you know, have my husband die so I won't have to be married to him. And she told me how when he would come home at the end of the day, she would be frustrated with God that God had not answered her prayer. Now, her husband today, who is an Adventist pastor, is grateful that her prayer was not answered. And so when we talk about prayer, we must understand that God will never answer prayers in a way that would harm someone or would dishonor him. Please understand. And for those of you that have children, when your children are talking to you, sometimes you say yes, but sometimes you answer how? No. And that's as much of an answer as yes. So we must understand that just because we pray, it doesn't automatically force God to give us what we need. But when we do pray, God can answer in amazing ways. You know, if you look at Ephesians 3:20, there's an amazing promise that's given. The immediate context is spirituality, actually, because Paul says, I'm bowing down in verse 14 to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, not according to what we have, but the riches of his glory through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in you, in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, you know, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Okay, this is just an amazing promise about a relationship with God and to be filled with what? All the fullness of God. Okay, he's saying, I'm asking that God would do such a work, but you can be literally filled with all the fullness of God. And then he says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and all that we ask or think. So he says, I'm asking that God fill you with himself completely. Now to him who is able to do not only what I've asked, but even more than that, okay? Of all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. He said, not because we're so strong and that we're so active, but according to the power of God that works in us. So this morning, as you think about your life, are there things that you need? God is able to provide them. He's able to provide them at the right time and in the right way, and probably at times exceedingly abundantly above and beyond what we could even ask for. You know, I think that we limit God by our faith. If you look at your little booklet, the first one at number 5, it comes from the book Heavenly Places. Heaven is ordained, is a heaven-ordained means of success. Appeals, petitions, entreaties between man and man move men and act a part in controlling the affairs of nations, but prayer moves heaven. When we pray, we are calling upon a God who has unlimited ability and a God who can send the Holy Spirit where we cannot go. I have two daughters I pray for. I can't go and visit them like I would wish, but the Holy Spirit can go every single day. Every single day. The next one adds a little bit. It's from the Acts of the Apostles. Prayer is heaven's ordained means of success in the conflict with sin and the development of Christian character. The divine influences that come in answer to the prayer of faith will accomplish in the soul all, I'm skipping the word in the of the suppliant, all for which he pleads, for the pardon of sin, for the Holy Spirit, for a Christ-like temper, for wisdom, for strength to do his work, for any gift that he's promised, we may ask, and the promise is, what? If you're lucky, you'll receive, right? No, you shall receive. You don't even need to ask if it's God's will to have a temper like God, to have the Holy Spirit. God wants to give those things, and he'll do it as quickly as you're prepared to receive it, okay? But notice this next one. This is the one I want you to think about today. Line 16, and I have line numbers on the left-hand side so you can find what I'm referring to quickly. The people of God have accustomed themselves to think that they must rely upon their own effort and that little help is to be received from heaven. And the result is that they have little light to communicate to other souls who are dying in error and darkness. Okay, we have accustomed ourselves, she says, to think that we must rely upon our own efforts. But notice, the church has long been content with little of the blessings of God. They have not felt the need of reaching up to the exalted privileges purchased for them at an infinite cost. The power of God awaits their demand and their reception. And you know, we're always saying we need more, we need help, we need resources. Could it be that we're not spending enough time asking God for those blessings? Maybe the blessing of wisdom, maybe the blessing of unity on a project, maybe the blessing of some financial resource, or it could be personal blessings of health or something like that. You know, God is able to do amazing, amazing things in response to our prayers. And so I want to have a final prayer. Our time is pretty much up. But just ask that God would bless the office today and bless all of you today. And I'm going to try and work it so that in the future we'll have time that we can all do some praying. But you can be praying through the day. You can be praying through the day. You know, I'm so glad that this time Rose is with me. As far as I'm concerned, she's the fairest Rose in all of England. But don't misunderstand that. I know there's other people named Rose that are nice people. But for me, anyway, she's the fairest Rose of all. And one thing that just makes her dear to me is that she kneels so often during the day. Anytime she starts something, she kneels or she bows her head. She tries to. And prayer should be infused in our entire day. You know, you eat food, and unless it's had time to marinate with the seasonings, it's not quite right. And a day without a lot of prayer is not a day that is right. So let me pray for us. Are there any specific requests that I can lift up today as we pray? Father in heaven, I want to thank you that we have the privilege today of coming to you in your name. As Father the Siren denotes, we live in a world where there are many difficulties. There are many people, Father, who are facing days of hopelessness. Perhaps they have no money and no job, or they find themselves afflicted by a sickness that the doctors have not been able to find a remedy for, or medications have not brought relief. Maybe they find themselves in a relationship, Father, where things are going terribly wrong and they don't know what to do. And Father, for many of them, they don't know that they can turn to you. They don't even know that they can turn to other people. They face life by themselves. And Father, we have been called to be the light of the world. I believe we are good news for the people around us. And Father, as we come to you this morning, we want to acknowledge, Lord, that we have been content with little blessings, Lord. I think in some cases we've had a limited vision, Lord, of what you want to be in us and what you want to do through us, Lord. Because London, Father, this city should be a better place because there are Seventh-day Adventists in that city. And I know it is in a certain degree, but not to the degree that you want it to be. And so, Father, I pray that you come into this building today and into the homes of all of your people today, and that you'll bless them, Father, that you'll draw them to yourself, and that you'll draw them into the Word, and that you draw them, Father, to reconsecrate themselves today to you completely. Give themselves, their time, their money, their influence, all that they have, to be yours and to be used by you. Father, I pray that today you will give your people wisdom, that today, Father, you'll give them that daily bread that is needed to accomplish your will, that you'll give them, Father, the gift of good relationships, that you'll protect them, Father, from the evil one, that you'll protect them from tempting anyone else to do evil. And that, Father, this day would be a day infused with your presence and with your love, and a day infused with our communication with you through prayer. I thank you for each person here, and that you have a plan for their lives and a plan for their lives today here. Father, might they meet every demand of truth and of duty. And Father, might the crooked places, the thorns, the difficulties that they're facing in terms of doing the work, might they be mended, may they be made straight. Father, where there are solutions and answers needed, might you give them the solutions. And Father, might there be a sweet unity, because Father, today you're present and you're leading everyone together. Thank you, Father, for this time. And Father, you know we're having a week of prayer at the Stanbrough Park Church. Lord, I'm not praying for my success there. I'm praying for your success. Send the Holy Spirit and use me and use the music and use the things that go on in that service, that all that come will be blessed, and might many come, Lord, not for me, but for you, please, for Jesus' sake. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.